Plagues of Egypt, Chapter 31. The Nile is worshipped in Egypt as a god, because this river makes Egypt fruitful. It hardly rains in this country. It was so in the days of Moses, and it is still the same. Once a year this river overflows, then all the land along the banks of the Nile lies under water. This land then would become thoroughly wet, and a thin layer of mud or slime would lay on those fields. This slime was brought down by the Nile. After a few months, when the water again went down and the land became dry, this slime would remain upon the land. This was plowed under by the Egyptian farmers. It made the ground very fruitful, and the best and largest grains grew upon those fields. However, there was another benefit derived from the Nile. The Nile not only made Egypt fruitful, but a great number of fish swam in it. They were caught and sold by the fishermen. Much fish was used for food in Egypt, thereby giving thousands of people the means of earning their livelihood. Because of these benefits, the Egyptians would go to the Nile every morning and worship it. That was very ignorant, wasn't it? The Nile was no god, but only an ordinary river. Instead, the Egyptians should have thanked the Lord for it, because he caused the Nile to overflow its banks. But they did not know that. Pharaoh, the king, also went every morning to the river to worship it and to render it godly honor. One morning, when it is still very early, Pharaoh walks as usual to the river. The Israelites already are working hard. Pharaoh sees them and he smiles. Ah, that goes all right. They must work and always more rigorously. He will teach them, they with their feasting and celebrating. Before he realizes it, he stands by the Nile and he suddenly sees Moses and Aaron standing before him. Pharaoh gets angry. Those fellows are so impudent. This annoys him. But before he can say a word, Aaron speaks, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." The Israelites were also called Hebrews. Thus, the God of the Hebrews is the same as the God of the Israelites. Pharaoh shakes his head. He will not do it. He will not let them go. He is the ruler, and not the God of the Hebrews. But when Pharaoh refuses to obey, Aaron stretches forth his rod over the river. At the same moment, something dreadful happens. Look at that! At once, all of the water in the Nile changes into blood. It isn't a river full of water, but it is a river full of blood flowing through Egypt. The Egyptians frighten. Pharaoh also frightens, but only for a short time. Immediately he calls the magicians and commands them to do the same. Truly they can do it too. "Do you see," Pharaoh says, "this is nothing uncommon, because my magicians also can do it." He returns to his palace, and he will not listen. However, the Nile remains a river of blood. "Come now, you magicians, why don't you cause that blood to change into water?" "No, children, they are not able to do that." One full week, thus 7 days, the Nile remains a stream of blood. The Egyptians also drank the water of the Nile, but they couldn't do that now. They had to dig wells all around, and the water that would bubble up in those wells they would use for drinking water. Otherwise, they would have died from thirst. However, that water did not taste so delicious, but they had to drink it, for they had nothing else. All the fish that swam in the Nile died, for they could not remain alive in this blood. The Lord let them see that He was the strongest. Wasn't the Nile an idol of the Egyptians? Well then, the God of the Hebrews changed their idol into blood. It was a heavy punishment. How often wasn't the water of the Nile colored red by the blood of the infant boys of the Israelites? And now that blood is being avenged, for the whole Nile changed into blood. Finally, after 7 days, the water came back, but not one fish remained alive. These 7 days surely lasted very long for the Egyptians. This was the first plague upon Egypt. Oh, look! So many frogs! You have never seen so many, and neither have the Egyptians. The entire land of Egypt is full of them. They are not only in the river, but also upon the fields, on the streets and roads, in the houses, in every room, and they even jump around on the tables and beds of the Egyptians. They are so annoying and embarrassing. How did this come about, and where did all these frogs come from all at once? Well, Pharaoh would not listen, and the second plague came upon Egypt. First, the Lord warned him, but when he continued to refuse, Aaron had to stretch his rod over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, yes, by the millions. The Egyptians cannot take one step, or they step upon them. If they sit down to eat, they even jump upon their plates. Yes, they also come inside their ovens and baking pans. Awful! While the Egyptians lay upon their beds, the frogs jump over the blankets and on their faces, so bad that they cannot sleep because of it. The frogs are also in the palace of Pharaoh, and neither can he sleep. This is the second punishment upon Pharaoh's disobedience. He called the magicians, and they again imitate it. They also let frogs come, but they could not take them away. At last, Pharaoh doesn't know what to do. What can he do? He can, and he does, call Moses and Aaron. Oh, he says, this is terrible. Pray fervently to the Lord that he may take away the frogs, and I will let you go celebrate a feast to the Lord. Good, Moses answers. When must this happen? You can set the time. Pharaoh thinks a moment. Let them disappear tomorrow, he decides. How come? Why not this very moment? Alas, Pharaoh secretly hoped that they would disappear of themselves. Then he wouldn't need the Lord. Oh no, Pharaoh, that will not happen. Moses prayed the following morning, and every frog died. The Egyptians cleaned their houses. They cast all the dead frogs upon a great heap. It wasn't long before they began to decay. An unbearable odor circulated all around. In the Bible we read, the land stank. But when the frogs were dead, Pharaoh said, I did say that I would let the Israelites go, but I will not do it. Thus Pharaoh was a liar. Were you ever in a dark room when the sun was shining inside and through a small crack in the curtain? If you have, did you see all the white light specks in the sunlight? Yes? Well then, you know that all those light specks are dust, don't you? Dust is everywhere. Pharaoh had promised that he would let the Israelites go, but he broke his promise. And do you know what happened next? As punishment upon Pharaoh's deceit and upon God's command, all the specks of dust were changed into lice. Everywhere it just teemed with lice. The lice crept on the roads, on the fields, in the houses, on the bread of the Egyptians, and even on the people themselves. This was the third plague, the third punishment of God. Pharaoh again called the magicians and commanded them to bring forth lice. But this they could not do. They tried, but they were unsuccessful. Then these ungodly magicians had to admit, "This is the finger of God. We cannot do anything about it. We cannot imitate it." Still, Pharaoh would not let the people go. He would not obey the God of the Israelites. How dreadful, isn't it? O children, who among you do the same as Pharaoh? Do you, in spite of all the warnings, continue to live in sin? If you do and you remain living that way, then it will turn out bad for you. Do you hear that? Listen. Alas, how those little children cry. What is the trouble? Why are they crying so loudly? Look at that little girl. She cries in distress. She walks, swinging her hands and striking things in front of her. But what is troubling her? Oh, it is terrible, for around her head are swarms of wasps and bees, mosquitoes and flies. They prick her everywhere. This poor child is full of lumps and stings. It is no wonder that she is crying so distressfully. This happened to every child of the Egyptians, not only to the children, but also to the older people. The whole of the land of Egypt was filled with all kinds of flying insects. This was the fourth plague which came upon Egypt. A great mixture of flies came upon them. The older people groaned and moaned, and the children cried and yelled for help. Among the Israelites there wasn't a one wasp, bee, fly, or mosquito. The children of the Israelites played happily outside. From this time forward, the Lord made a separation between Israel and Egypt. The first three plagues also were in the land of Goshen, but the fourth plague did not come into the land of Goshen. Pharaoh, the king, is also full of lumps and stings. His palace also is filled with these swarms of flying insects. He doesn't know where to go and what to do. The magicians cannot help him, for they are powerless. Finally, he calls Moses and Aaron. "You may sacrifice and celebrate your feast here in Egypt," he says. "Oh no," Moses answers. "The Egyptians would begin to quarrel with us, for they do not want that. They worship the bull as a god, and when we begin to offer their god to the god of the Hebrews, then they will kill us. We will sacrifice to the Lord our God in the wilderness." "Well then, it is good. I will agree to it. But pray to the Lord to take away this plague from me," Pharaoh pleads. So Moses prays, and God takes away these insects upon this prayer. And were they allowed to leave? Pharaoh promised it, didn't he? The king again broke his promise and refused to let the Israelites go into the wilderness. Pharaoh surely thought that he could mock with God, but he is mistaken. Egypt was famous because of their horses. We will hear more about that later. They also had donkeys, camels, cattle, and small animals such as sheep and goats. The bull was worshipped as a god. It is a very beautiful sight when we see all those cattle grazing peacefully in the pastures. It was so in Egypt too. The horses with their colts frolicked in the grass. The cows lay peacefully in the pasture chewing their cuds. But look, what is going on? Over there, a cow wildly puts up his head. This animal lows, falls down, yet a few convulsive twitches, and this animal is dead. Yonder, a horse is walking. Suddenly, it stands still, and its legs begin to tremble. It gives a frightened neigh, falls down, stretches itself upon the ground, and it is dead. A little further, a camel is walking with tottering steps, and soon this animal falls to the ground, and it also dies. It isn't long before the pastures are full of dead animals. Every moment, more animals die, here, there, and everywhere. They die by tens, yes, even hundreds of hundreds. What a pity! All at once, these nice, glossy-skinned cattle lie dead upon the ground. Before the darkness of night came, all the cattle which were grazing in the pastures died. What happened? How is that possible? Children, it is a punishment of the God of the Israelites upon Egypt and the king of Egypt. But why? You know why. Pharaoh still is disobedient, for he will not let the people go as the Lord commanded him. This is the fifth plague which came upon Egypt. God sent a severe pestilence among the cattle. All cattle which were outside died. Pharaoh, you are so wicked. You are so foolish. Besides, Pharaoh knew that this plague was coming. Moses and Aaron went to him the day before and told him in the name of Israel's God that he must let the Israelites go, that he must give them their freedom, and if he would not do it, then all the cattle which were out in the fields would die. Pharaoh could think about this the balance of that day and the entire night. He had all this time to decide and give his consent to let them go. He was warned, and he did not listen. Then the punishment came, and it was severe. But let us go together to the land of Goshen. The Israelites also had many cows and sheep, goats and donkeys. The pastures were full of them, but not one animal of theirs had died, for God took care of that. Pharaoh also heard this, and he sent someone to see if it were really true. Yes, Pharaoh, it is true. Don't you see? Yet that God is on the Israelites' side, and that he is helping Israel? Pharaoh didn't want to see it. He didn't want to give in. He hardened his heart again. Terrible, wasn't it?